Who are guardian angels? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent angels who guard us in this world. We do have angels sitting on our shoulders, the kiram and katibin, the honorable scribes, who write our deeds. However, we also have angels who protect us. Allah says, وَإِنَّ عَلَيْكُمْ لَحَافِظِينَ. But verily over you are appointed angels to watch you. Allah also says in Surah Ar-Ra'd, for each person there are angels in succession, before and behind him. They guard him by the command of Allah. What happens when the angel of death comes to us? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained to us, and it was recorded by Imam Ahmad. He sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the angels attend the dying person. If he is a righteous person, the angels will say, O pure soul from a pure body, come out with honor and receive the good news of rest, satisfaction, and a Lord who is not angry. The angels will keep saying this until the soul leaves its body, and they will then raise it up to heaven and will ask that the door be opened for the soul, and it will be asked, who is this? It will be said, the soul of so-and-so. It will be said, welcome to the pure soul that inhabited the pure body. Enter with honor and receive the good news of rest, satisfaction, and a Lord who is not angry. This statement will be repeated until the soul reaches the heaven above which there is Allah. If the dying person is evil, the angels will say, get out of your body, O wicked soul, from a wicked body. Get out in disgrace and receive the news of boiling fluid, a fluid dark, murky, intensely cold, and other torments of similar kind altogether to match them. The statement will be said repeatedly until the soul leaves its body. The soul will be raised up to the heaven, and a request will be made that the door be opened for it. It will be asked, who is this? It will be said, the soul of so-and-so. It will be said, no welcome to the wicked soul from the wicked body. Return with disgrace, for the doors of heaven will not be opened for you. So it will be thrown from heaven until it returns to the grave. So the righteous person sits, and similar is said to him as before, and the evil person sits, and similar is said to him as before. When the angel of death comes, the bad spirit, the evil ruh, is gathered and wrapped in an evil-smelling, filthy cloth by angels who sit at the foot. No door opens for him during his journey to heaven. His ruh, his spirit, is thrown back to his body. It cries, do not bury me. Upon failing the questions in the grave, the ruh is jailed in Sijjin, and his grave is constricted, and he is dealt with accordingly, according to his amal, his actions. The time between death and the day of judgment, this time is beyond a curtain, barzakh, and we have not been given more information about this, except some references to what the body, the soul, feels in the grave. The good spirit upon death is wrapped in a beautiful, perfumed cloth from Jannah. The doors of heavens open for him during the journey to heaven. His spirit is then gently placed back in the body. It answers the questions in the grave. And then his ruh is kept in Illiyin, and his grave is opened up as far as the eye can see, and it is filled with light, and he has a handsome, good-looking companion to keep him company. And these are his amal, his actions, his good actions. May Allah make us of the latter. Ameen, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Allah is a subjugator, and to him we will be returned. Allah then says, say, who rescues you from the darknesses of the land and the sea when you call upon him, imploring aloud and privately, if he should save us from this crisis, we will surely be among the thankful. Often we only turn to Allah when we fear for our lives, or we fear something, some calamity has occurred in our lives. Even those who do not believe in him, Darkness is mentioned especially because we remember Allah more in darkness, because human beings psychologically fear darkness. Allah just wants us to be thankful. So Allah says, say it is Allah who saves you from it and from every distress. Then you still associate others with Him? Say He is the one able to send upon you affliction from above you or from beneath your feet, or to confuse you so you become sects. You follow your own inclinations other than the truth and become biased and hostile toward each other. So Allah says, say He is the one able to send upon you affliction from above you or from beneath your feet, or to confuse you so you become sects and you make you taste the violence of one another. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes us taste the violence of one another, and this is a manifestation of His anger. Look how we diversify the signs that they may understand, Allah says. But your people have denied it while it is the truth. Say, I am not over you a manager. I am not an authority over you. For every news, meaning every happening, is a finality. Other shades of the meaning mean a permanence, a realization, a time of stability. Every event has its time of realization. It comes to pass at a certain time, Allah says, and you are going to know. And when you see those who engage in offensive discourse concerning our verses, then turn away from them until they enter into another conversation. And if Satan should cause you to forget, then do not remain after the reminder with the wrongdoing people. Allah repeats this. Allah reminds us again that when you see people who are making fun of the ayat of Allah, or they are doing something that opposes the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are denying it or making fun of it, then do not sit with them, but continue to sit with them if they have changed the conversation. But sometimes shaitan will make us forget to leave. Allah never says that interrupt their conversation, redirect their conversation. Allah says leave. But Allah says if Satan should cause you to forget, then do not remain after the reminder with the wrongdoing people, because then Allah will remind us again, and at that moment we must leave. Do not become of those people, because if we continue to sit, then our record will also note that we were part of the conversation. May Allah save us. Ameen. Allah says, and those who fear Allah are not held accountable for them, meaning the disbelievers at all, but only for a reminder that perhaps they will fear Him. So Allah says, if people are making fun of the ayat of Allah, you are not responsible for it, but you should remind them once in a while, because that is incumbent upon us. Allah says, and leave those who take their religion as amusement and diversion. وَذَرِ الَّذِينَ اتَّخَذُوا دِينَهُمْ لَعِبًا وَلَهْوًا وَغَرَّتْهُمُ الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا, and whom the life of the world has deluded. It has just simply confused them. They think that this is their true life, and they think that religion is simply a pastime. It's just a simple cultural, perhaps, identity, some rituals that we have to follow because we are part of a certain community and we need to belong to it. That is it. And the Quran must be taken out under certain circumstances, on certain special occasions. At other times, it must be wrapped up. That's it. Or perhaps, maybe, if we are blessed, take it up once a year. Maybe show up for Eid Salah. Maybe Jummah once in a while. Subhanallah. There's no effort to learn Deen. There's no effort to come and sit in the gatherings of Zikr. There's no effort whatsoever. Deen is simply to celebrate Eid, Eid al-Adha, Eid al-Fitr. Or to say that, yes, we did Umrah once, or Hajj, or we are planning to, or perhaps not at all. And then a person comes back after their Umrah and Hajj, and they continue their lives as if nothing had changed them, because it was just a ritual. it was something that you could do, and then people would invite you to dinner parties to celebrate and give gifts. But that is it. Nothing changes. A person continues as before. Religion is play and amusement. When we sit and do the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before weddings, for example, but then right after that, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with that, it is recommended. Obviously, a nikah cannot occur without the dhikr of Allah. But sometimes you want to sit down and do the zikr of Allah before a wedding. And at the very place where the zikr of Allah was shared, at that very place, people will start doing things that make fun of the ayat of Allah. They will start celebrating in ways that are forbidden. And in some ways that the Prophet ﷺ would never ever accept. May Allah forgive us. Ameen, Ya Rabbal Alameen, in His mercy and reform us. Ameen. So Allah says, and leave those who take their religion as amusement and diversion, and whom the worldly life has deluded, but remind with it, meaning the Quran, lest a soul be given up to destruction for what it earned. Care about people, still remind people. But people don't like that, do they? They don't want to be reminded. Subhanallah. And they start calling the ones who remind arrogant. Remind people with love, privately, with sincerity. So Allah says, but remind with it, meaning the Quran, lest a soul be given up to destruction for what it earned. It will have other than Allah no protector and no intercessor. And if it should offer every compensation, it would not be taken from it, meaning the soul. Those are the ones who are given to destruction for what they have earned. For them will be a drink of scalding water and a painful punishment because they used to disbelieve. May Allah forgive us and save us from hellfire. Ameen, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Say, shall we invoke instead of Allah that which neither benefits us nor harms us, and turned back on our heels, and be turned back on our heels after Allah has guided us? We would then be like one whom the devils enticed to wander upon the earth confused, while he has companions inviting him to guidance, calling, come to us. Say, indeed, the guidance of Allah is the only guidance. Inna hudallahi huwal huda, wa umirna linuslima li rabbil alameen. And we have been commanded to submit to the Lord of the worlds, and to establish prayer, and fear him. And it is He to whom you will be gathered. And it is He who created the heavens and the earth in truth. And the day, that is whenever He says, be, kun, fayakun, and it is. His word is the truth, and His is the dominion on the day when the horn is blown. He is the knower of the unseen, and the witnessed, and He is the wise, the acquainted. It is sheer stupidity to call upon something other than Allah, because nothing other than Allah can benefit us or harm us. No human being, our parents, our spouses, our children, it doesn't matter who it is, the ruler of a nation, can neither benefit us nor harm us. Because if we start calling upon others than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, worshipping those idols, or asking them for help from ghaib, from the unseen, or depending upon them and pleasing them at the expense of displeasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it means we have turned away from Islam, because that is not Islam. We can take resources and use resources that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided, but in our heart we must know that only Allah can help us benefit from those very resources. If we worship other than Allah, then we would have been seduced by the devils and become confused. May Allah save us and our generations from the end of time, from all kinds of shirk. Ameen, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Allah then says, and mention O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when Abraham said to his father, Azar, do you take idols as deities? Indeed, I see you and your people to be in manifest error. And thus we showed Abraham the realm of the heavens and the earth, that he would be among those certain in faith. So when the night covered him with darkness, he saw a star. He said, "This is my Lord." Ibrahim alayhi salam presents a picture of his dissatisfaction because he was not satisfied with the idols he saw in front of him. It did not make any sense to him. There seemed to be no logic to the worshipping of idols that were carved by the hands of his own father. So he started looking for the real God. He saw a star and he said, "This is my Lord." But when it set, he said, "I like not those that set," meaning disappear. He understood in his mind, in his subconscious, that a God is not weak and that he would always be there. A God could never set. It could never disappear. And when he saw the moon rising, Allah says, he said, "This is my Lord," because it was brighter and bigger than the star as he could perceive. Allah says, but when it set, he said, "Unless my Lord guides me, I will surely be among the people gone astray." So he knew in his heart of hearts that Allah existed. And that is a fitrah, the nature that a soul comes down to earth with. When we are created in the wombs of our mothers, and when our soul is blown into the womb of the mother at 40 weeks, we know that Allah is one God and there is no one worthy of worship except Him. So he knew there was one God, but he also knew that it was not the idols that he saw in front of him. Allah says next, and when he saw the sun rising, because it was brighter and bigger than the others, he said, "This is my Lord, this is greater." But when it set, because the sun also sets. But when it set, he said, "O my people, indeed I am free from what you associate with Allah." Because his people used to also worship stars and the moon and the sun. And then he said, "Indeed, I have turned my face," meaning myself, "toward He who created the heavens and the earth, inclining toward truth, and I am not of those who associate others with Allah." The story is being relayed to the Hindus, the pagans of the Quraysh, because they also revered Ibrahim alayhi salam. Allah is telling them, "This is your ancestor. This is your history. Come back to it." Allah says, he continues with the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam and says, and his people argued with him, with Ibrahim alayhi salam. He said, "Do you argue with me concerning Allah while he has guided me? And I fear not what you associate with him and will not be harmed unless my Lord should will something. My Lord encompasses all things in knowledge. Then will you not remember? And how should I fear what you associate, while you do not fear that you have associated with Allah that for which He has not sent down to you any authority?" He said, "Why should I fear your gods, your so-called gods? Because you do not fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for making up a religion." So Ibrahim alayhi salam continues, "So which of the two parties has more right to security, if you should know? Who should be at greater peace?" He said, "Should I be, because I worship one God? Or should you be, because you have made up your own religion? They who believe and do not mix their belief with injustice, those will have security, and they are the rightly guided. May Allah make us of those people. Ameen." What is the greatest injustice? The shirk. Shirk, polytheism, that is the greatest injustice. Allah calls it zulmun azim, the greatest zulm, the greatest injustice. So if a person has purified their devotion to Allah and have not a single iota of shirk or polytheism mixed in with it, and they rely 100% solely upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then they will have peace and security within them, because that is Islam. Allah says, وَتِلْكَ حُجَّتُنَا آتَيْنَاهَا إِبْرَاهِيمَ عَلَىٰ قَوْمِهِ. And that was our conclusive argument which we gave Abraham against his people, meaning Allah taught him this argument. Allah says, "We raise by degrees whom we will. Indeed, your Lord is wise and knowing." It is Allah who makes people see the truth. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who rests and fortifies the truth in our hearts, and it is Allah who gives us the words of perfect argument, of the best argument. Allah guides even our words and our thoughts and our hearts. Allah says, and we gave to him, meaning Ibrahim alayhi salam, Isaac and Jacob, all of them we guided, and Noah we guided before, and among his descendants David and Solomon and Job and Joseph and Moses and Aaron. Thus do we reward the doers of good, and Zechariah and John and Jesus and Elias, and all were of the righteous, and Ishmael and Elisha and Jonah and Lot, and all of them we preferred over the worlds. And some among their fathers and their descendants and their brothers, we chose them and we guided them to a straight path. ذَلِكَ هُدَى اللَّهِ يَهْدِي بِهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ. That is a guidance of Allah, by which He guides whomever He wills of His servants. But if they had associated others with Allah, all of these prophets whom Allah has just mentioned, Allah says, if they had associated others with Allah, then worthless for them would be whatever they were doing. Subhanallah. Meaning that all of these prophets were pure monotheists, and all of their followers must and should be pure monotheists as well. Allah says, those are the ones to whom we gave the scripture and authority and prophethood. But if they, meaning the disbelievers, deny it, then we have entrusted it to a people who are not therein disbelievers. Now the Quran is with those who are not disbelievers. And Allah gives this beautiful example of Ibrahim alayhi salam, the way that he understood his religion, and he truly understood who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, because he incorporated that in his life, and he never deviated from it, no matter how hard the test. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gifted him with pious children. Allah uses the word wahabana. Wahaba means to gift. So Allah gifted him with three more generations of prophets, Ishaq alayhi salam, Yaqub alayhi salam, Yusuf alayhi salam, and from his descendants came all the other prophets, including Isa alayhi salam, and from his other son Ismail alayhi salam came the final prophet, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the leader of the prophets. But even these great men, the greatest of men, did not have any authority to commit shirk or polytheism. Allah selected them and gave them the scripture, the divine word, to guard and to spread. But if the people of the scripture, the people of the book, deny the Quran, or the polytheists deny the Quran, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would find someone else, and He did. He found Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba who were ready to believe. Allah says, those are the ones whom Allah has guided. So from their guidance, take an example. Say, I ask you for it, meaning this message, no payment. It is not but a reminder for the worlds. وَمَا قَدَرُ اللَّهَ حَقَّ قَدْرِهِ إِذْ قَالُوا مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ بَشَرٍ مِّن شَيْءٍ. And they did not appraise Allah. وَمَا قَدَرُ اللَّهَ حَقَّ قَدْرِهِ. As is His right to be appreciated, with the true appraisal. Qadr, it means to appreciate someone to the extent of their abilities, to the extent of their qualities, not just to appreciate someone's qualities, but the extent of their abilities, their attributes, the extent of the qualities. So Allah says, they did not appraise Allah with the true appraisal. They did not appreciate Allah as He ought to be appreciated, when they said, Allah did not reveal to a human being anything. Meaning they did not appreciate the extent of His ability and wisdom. Say, who revealed the scripture that Moses brought as light and guidance to the people? You, meaning the Bani Israel, make it into pages, disclosing some of it and concealing much. And you were taught that which you knew not, neither you nor your fathers. Say, Allah revealed it. Then leave them in their empty discourse, amusing themselves. They never had anything like the Torah before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent it down. He revealed it to them. The only reason they were known as illiterate people in that area or in the world was because of the scripture that Allah had sent down upon them, and that was from His grace. It was not anything that they had inherited from their forefathers. So Allah says, why do you not appreciate it? And why do you not appreciate the fact that since Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had sent the Torah, that He has also sent the Quran? Both were easy for Him. Allah says, وَهَذَا كِتَابٌ أَنزَلْنَاهُ مُبَارَكٌ مُبَارَكٌ مُصَدِّقُ الَّذِي بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ. And this is a book which we have sent down, blessed and confirming what was before it. Mubarak, blessed. Allah says it confirms what was before it, that you may warn the mother of the cities, meaning Makkah, and those around it. Those who believe in the hereafter believe in it, meaning the Quran, and they are maintaining their prayers. They are maintaining their prayers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala marks the believers in the Quran. A reflection of the belief of people in the Quran is that they will always guard their prayers. Allahumma ja'alna minhum ya rabbal alameen. So we have to question ourselves. Is my reflection the reflection of a believer? Allah then says, and who is more unjust than one who invents a lie about Allah or says, it has been inspired to me, while nothing has been inspired to him, and one who says, I will reveal something like that which Allah has revealed, subhanAllah. There were many people from the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and afterwards who would claim that they were prophets and that they received the word of God. Subhanallah, Allah says they are all lying. Then there were poets who wanted to write something like the Quran and said that they had the ability to do it, but they couldn't and they failed. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and if you could but see when the wrongdoers are in the overwhelming pangs of death, while the angels extend their hands saying, discharge your souls. Today you will be awarded the punishment of extreme humiliation for what you used to say against Allah other than the truth, and that you were toward His verses being arrogant. And it will be said to them, and you have certainly come to us alone, meaning individually, as we created you the first time. You came into this world alone, and you will return alone. Allah says, and you have left whatever we bestowed upon you behind you. And we do not see with you your so-called intercessors, which you claimed that they were among your associates of Allah. It has all been severed between you, and lost from you is what you used to claim, meaning that they would help us in Akhirah, or they are intercessors with Allah. Allah says, indeed, Allah is a cleaver of grain and date seeds. He brings the living out of the dead and brings the dead out of the living. That is Allah. So how are you deluded? Do we not see every day a beautiful, delicate green seedling coming out of something that was hard as a dry grain and hard as a date seed? Allah says, in the same manner, we will come back to life. Allah says He is a cleaver of daybreak and has made the night for rest and the sun and moon for calculation, meaning to calculate our time of precise movement. That is the determination of the exalted in might, the knowing. Our clocks, they do not deviate. Our hours in a day have been determined and divided by human beings, but they have been designed by Allah, the cycle of the night and day. What we have divided into 24 hours, which was also, by the way, the guidance of Allah. All of this is from Allah. The sun always comes out at its appointed time, and it sets at its appointed time. The seasons come and go at their appointed time. Who determined this? It was Allah. ذَلِكَ تَقْدِيرُ الْعَزِيزِ الْعَلِيمِ. Al-Aziz, the Mighty, because only He could do this, because only He has that might. Al-Aleem, He's always knowledgeable. It was His knowledge. Allah says, and it is He who placed for you the stars, that you may be guided by them through the darknesses of the land and the sea. We have detailed the signs for a people who know. The stars, the positions, they never change. They never change despite the fact that we are orbiting the earth and we are also turning on our axis and the galaxies are turning as well and they are expanding. The stars always remain in their same place. How is that possible? Because this is how we perceive it, so that we will use them for guidance, not for fortune telling, of course not, because that is shirk, that is forbidden by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But for astronomy, not astrology, we use the stars to determine direction, which direction should we travel. Allah says, we have detailed the signs for a people who know, who have knowledge and understanding. وَهُوَ الَّذِي أَنْشَأَكُمْ مِنْ نَفْسٍ وَاحِدَةٍ. And it is He who produced you from one soul and gave you a place of dwelling and of storage, meaning a place to live. We have detailed the signs for a people who understand. Fiqh, understanding. And it is He who sends down rain from the sky. And we, Allah says, produce thereby the growth of all things. We produce from it greenery, from which we produce grains arranged in layers. Such details, such beautiful details. Allah says, and from the palm trees of its emerging fruit are clusters hanging low. And we produce gardens of grapevines and olives and pomegranates, similar yet varied. Look at each of its fruit when it yields and at its ripening. Indeed, in that are signs for a people who believe. Because looking at this beautiful creation of Allah, this varied beautiful creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a person must understand that this is intelligent design. This is perfect design. This is something that cannot be replicated or created by human beings. The original design, the original designer is Allah, and He repeats it so easily. Allah says, but they have attributed to Allah partners, the jinn, while He has created them, and have fabricated for Him sons and daughters. Subhanallah, Subhanahu wa ta'ala amma yasifoon. Exalted is He and high above what they describe. He is the originator of the heavens and the earth. How could He have a son when He does not have a companion, meaning a wife? And He created all things, and He is of all things knowing. ذَلِكُمُ اللَّهُ رَبُّكُمْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّهُ خَالِقُ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ فَاعْبُدُهُ وَهُوَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ وَكِيلٍ. That is Allah, your Lord, your Rabb. There is no deity except Him, the creator of all things. So worship Him, and He is the disposer of all things. Vision perceives Him not, but He perceives all vision, and He is the subtle, the acquainted, the tiniest thing, the flicker of something does not escape Him. Allah says, there has come to you the enlightenment from your Lord. So whoever will see does so for the benefit of his soul, and whoever is blind does harm against his own self. And say, I am not a guardian over you. It is up to you, your choice. And thus do we diversify the verses, so they, that is the disbelievers, will say, you have studied, you have learned it from someone else. Subhanallah. Meaning they are speaking about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That you have learned it from a foreigner or from someone of the people of the scripture. Allah says, and thus do we diversify the verses. So they, the disbelievers, will say, you have studied. And so we make it, meaning the Quran, clear for people who know. People who have knowledge know that this Quran is unique and it is the kalam, the word, the speech of Allah. Follow, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what has been revealed to you from your Lord. there is no deity except Him, and turn away from those who associate others with Allah. But if Allah had willed, they would not have associated. And we have not appointed you over them as a guardian, nor are you a manager over them. And do not insult those they invoke other than Allah, lest they insult Allah in enmity without knowledge. Allah teaches us a protocol. Do not make fun of the other gods that they think they have. Those so-called gods or so-called idols, do not make fun of them, because then in enmity and hostility they will make fun of Allah. So prevent a future evil by stopping yourself and practicing good behavior, better behavior, self-control. Do not give people a cause to blame you. Do not give people a cause to blame Muslims. Allah says, thus we have made pleasing to every community their deeds. Then to their Lord is their return, and He will inform them about what they used to do. And they swear by Allah, their strongest oaths, that if a sign came to them, they would certainly believe in it. Say, the signs are only with Allah, meaning from Allah. And what will make you perceive that even if it, meaning a sign, came, they would not believe? And we will turn away their hearts and their eyes, just as they refused to believe in it the first time, and we will leave them in their transgression, wandering blindly. Alhamdulillah, we have completed Juz number 7 by the grace of Allah. Let's recap a little bit. Toward the end of Surah Al-Ma'idah, in ayah number 88, Allah reminds us to eat of what Allah has provided, which is halal and tayyib, and to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, and not to fear anyone else. Allah orders that intoxicants, gambling, and sacrificing to stone altars are haram and forbidden. Allah orders us to obey Him and His Messenger, and to not turn away from this notification. Allah reminds us that He is going to test us with something that He has forbidden us, like He did Adam and Hawa alayhi salam. It was a tree that was within their reach, but He told them that they could not eat from it. In the same way, while a person is in ihram, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala might send some animals his way, but a person may not hunt during that time. And Allah tells us that He will surely test us with something of the game that will reach our hands and our spears, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to make evident those who fear Him unseen. Will I hold myself back, whereas the only one who sees me is Allah? Allah has made halal for us the game of the sea. Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us the importance of the Kaaba, the sacred house, and the sacrificial animals, and the sacred months, because these are all symbols of Allah. Allah tells us that we should understand that Allah is severe in penalty, and that Allah is also forgiving and merciful. Which side of Him, which attributes of His do we want to appeal to? That is up to us. Allah explains the concept of Al-Khabis wa Tayyib, that which is evil and filthy and that which is pure. Allah says they are not equal, even if we see that the filthy and the evil is overtaking society and it is abundant. Allah says, stick with your principles. Allah advises us not to question too much in our religion and to simply follow what we hear and what we learn. Allah again reminds us to guard our oaths and explains to us what the fidya will be, what the ransom will be if we break our oaths. A person's iman depends upon how they safeguard their oaths and their promises and fulfill their trusts. Allah tells us that Isa alayhi salam and Maryam alayhi salam, Mary, would never have told people to worship them besides Allah. Allah tells us the conversation that will occur on the Day of Judgment between Him and Isa alayhi salam. And Isa alayhi salam will admit that he did not know what happened to his people after he left the world. Allah promises at the end of Surah Al-Ma'idah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward the Siddiqeen, those who stand up for truthfulness, and those who are true with Jannah. And Allah will be pleased with them and they will be pleased with him. May Allah make us of those. Ameen. Suratul Anam is unique because this is one of the longest surahs that was revealed altogether, except for a few ayat. 70,000 angels accompany the revelation of this ayah. This surah has contrasting themes of light and darkness. Allah makes evident what is light, and Allah makes evident that shirk is the greatest darkness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala compares the blind and the seeing, meaning that the people who believe are truly seeing, and they see the truth with their hearts and with their minds and acknowledge it, while the blind are covered from it. Allah compares those who hear and those who do not hear. Those who hear are the ones who respond to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and respond to His verses, His ayat. The people who are deaf, when they hear the Quran, it is as if it is spoken in a language they do not understand, and it does not touch their hearts and it leaves them cold. The address in Suratul An'am is mostly to the Kuffar, to the Quraysh, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes a very strong and clear case against polytheism and shirk. In Suratul An'am, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expounds the concept of monotheism very clearly and repeatedly. Monotheism and shirk, tawheed and shirk, are opposites, clear cut, black and white. And Allah has left no room in Islam, no room in His revelations to be confused over the two concepts. Another strong theme in this surah is the contrast between those who fear Allah and take their religion seriously and others who take their religion as amusement and diversion because they are deluded by the worldly life. Allah says, leave such people alone. When they make fun of the ayat of Allah or they engage in offensive discourse concerning His verses, turn away from them and then leave the people who have a very non-serious attitude toward religion, toward deen, whether it is disbelievers, polytheists, people of the book, or within the Muslim community. Ignore such people. Do not become like them. Allah says also, do not be confused by the life of this world. This life itself is play and amusement, but the true home is the home of the hereafter. And it is for those who submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like the Sahaba who submitted themselves completely to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah does not look at our faces. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not look at our wealth because He has granted us that. So when the Quraysh criticized the poor Sahaba who would sit with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down ayat up from above the heavens to defend them and to honor them. Allah did not care if the Quraysh did not come and sit with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In fact, He forbade Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to remove the poor Sahaba who were there solely to please Allah. Remember, there are no conditions upon true belief and true iman. Allah does not accept conditions. He is the one who gives conditions. Allah names successive prophets and He says all of them were pure monotheists and their followers expected to be the same. Allah gives a beautiful example of Ibrahim alayhi salam. How if a person truly wants to understand a monotheism and tawheed must look at him. And if a person is really true and courageous, Allah will guide them to the truth. Allah describes all His powers in detail because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's creation and the way He creates things is unbelievable. No one else can create the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created, the way He designs this world, the way He runs this world without fail, without the tiniest bit of deviation or mistakes. He is truly free from all imperfections in Himself and in His design. So Allah says, how dare they attribute His own creation as His partners, jinn, and the fact that they think angels are His daughters and that He has sons. Allah says, subhanahu wa ta'ala amma yasifoon. They have not estimated Allah as he ought to be estimated. They have not appreciated Allah as he ought to be appreciated when they have said that he has not sent down any revelation. Why would he not? He has designed every single thing in great detail, and he also runs the world in great detail, and he never tires from it, and he is also never unaware. So why would he not send guidance from time to time, just as he has sent before? But Allah says, enlightenment has come from Allah. So whoever will see does so for the benefit of his soul, and whoever is blind does harm against his own soul. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to benefit us from the Quran. Ameen. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open up our hearts, to uncover our hearts, to uncover our eyes, to uncover our ears. Ameen. Ya Rabbal Alameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make our hearts soft and open to His word. Ameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us benefit from that which He teaches us, and may He accept it from us, so that we will be of those who are given the certificate. Radiallahu anhum wa radu an. Ameen. Ya Rabbal Alameen. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka anta as-sami'ul alim wa tub alayna innaka anta at-tawwabur rahim. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin. Ameen. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in.